hunt for the sermon. When I saw people coming in this morning, I'm greeting people in my t-shirt and stuff. They're going, wow, this is a relaxed place. What's with the fat guy in the t-shirt here? I don't know. Honey, let's turn around and get out of here. I'll be wearing, today I put on more and more clothing as the day goes on. You know, I was very grateful for the brilliant song selection with these two little boys being buried and raised at the same time. My dear mother-in-law, buried but not dead. Oh, no, 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 no. She is with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. A flower plucked, but a flower newly planted. We'll talk about her later, but great song selection. I don't think that was one of our deeply spiritual, we did no planning and the Lord showed up and planned the song service, but it was the right thing to do. I am, there's another interesting planning. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. For some reason, all the Marines are over on this side of the room. I don't get that, but there are a bunch of them over there, including one who came in today. This is how strong he is. He came in wearing a Wisconsin or Green Bay Packers jersey autographed by Aaron Rodgers. So there are two conversions necessary here, perhaps. I mean, I hope he's solid in Christ, but if that hasn't happened, let's do that one. And then we love our Redskins. I'm just going to be honest with you, bro. Come on now. Wear another one next week. You can do both of those things. Look closely. Is that Aaron Rodgers' signature? I wanted to kiss it. I had this strange temptation. Love him. Thank you, buddy. But a lot of Marines over here and Air Force. And in the center of the room, I don't get this, a lot of Army out there. And then over here on the right, some Navy. What's up with this? Of course, there's an Army, like, king of the world sergeant down here, master surgeon, whatever he is, surgeon general of the universe, sitting in the front row. They're like that. Sorry. Sorry, sir. Excuse me. You know, this morning, this is going to be brief. I always say that, don't I? Okay, but it is. And the title says it all, I think. Peace, not confusion. Peace, not confusion. There's a wonderful thing that Paul is trying to bring to his dear church in Corinth. Corinth is a mess. We've gone over that for, I don't know, 16, is it 16 weeks? I have no idea. The place has immorality everywhere. There are large pockets of ignorance. There's tremendous commerce. There is false religion of a type that we cannot ever even describe to our teenagers. It's so crazy. And Paul wanders in there, and it's as if he's repeating physically what he said to his disciple and minister Titus. He says, amend what is defective in these churches they've begun and appoint elders in every town as I've directed you. He employed something in business management I hear is called chaos management, which often allows for incredibly fast growth. A company starts and they throw out a million dominoes or whatever, and while they throw them out, the wise leaders then start to tweak as fast as they can, start to fix, start to take the confusion out and bring order and wonder. Now, we were at a conference this week where we listened to the COO, chief operating officer of Google, and all these top industry guys, and we're just soaking it up. And it wasn't that they were Christians necessarily, but some were deeply Christian, deeply Christian. It was just wonderful. But to hear them talk about, and the Marines do this, I know all the military does, but I know these guys do, they're always committed to getting better. You got to chip, 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 the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. God's doing that in a lot of our lives, isn't he? If we're walking with Jesus, guess who you become like more and more every day if you're on the right page? You become like the one you love the most. You become like Jesus. They said this at this conference, and I love this. A Jewish mom is walking along with her children, and she goes, the 12-year-old is my lawyer here, and the 10-year-old is my doctor. She projects on them what she wants them to be. And sure enough, that's what they become. The primary love object of our life often has a great hand in who and what we become. And you'll see why I'm bringing this piece up at the end of the sermon. The women in our life sometimes feel, you know, you hear all this stuff out in the culture about downtrodden and all this. Not in my world. Not in my world. And we've gone over this. I'm sorry, I'm not going to resurrect this whole idea. But my girls are tough. Don't make no mistake about that. And they're extremely accomplished. And if you're worried about the downtrodden thing, but we came out of a schematic, out of a picture that has order, not confusion. They know their dad loves them and is 100% for them and believes in them. That's for sure. I took Kristen to gymnastics, and she became a top in certain things. I'd brag if I said any more than that. Catherine, you know, tremendously accomplished, beyond anything her father's ever done. Cheryl, one of the most skillful administrators I know, and one of the most loving children you'll ever meet in your life. Why? Here's why. Because of Jesus Christ work in their life. Because the Holy Spirit of God came in them and gave them faith to believe that there are good ways to live life, healthy, amazing ways to live life. And that brings peace, not confusion. The Apostle Paul is going into a church he loves, and he goes, I am going to bring some structure to this family. Oh, all discipline seems painful. If we've been coached or mentored or gone through medical school, or there's always some professor. My best teachers were fiery. Oh, no, please, no, not Mrs. Heath, not Mrs. Heath. She takes me outside the thing. You're going to wrestle tonight, Bill? You're going to wrestle tonight when we have a concert? Your grade for the quarter just dropped 2 levels. I said, ma'am, I have to. I'm committed to it. You know, I don't want to make myself look good. The coach, the reason she came to me is because the coach had already hammered her in a backroom discussion because she was insisting I go to the thing. And she said, nope, but your grades are going to be cut. You are going to endure discipline. Tim Wyatt, Washington Lee High School. I think I may have been the only kid thrown out of his class during the course of the year. Now, this is a guy so tough, I saw him tackle kids that were fighting in the hallways of school. He was a state champion coach. He says, Bill, you're out of here, go. Who are my two favorite teachers in the world? Harriet Heath and Tim Wyatt. Because they were so concerned for their kids, so passionate about what they did, that they changed our lives, and we all know it. You have that kind of teacher. Some are just dripping with love, all about that. But most all of them bring some structure, and that is what Paul is going to do here. There are spiritual gifts flying around this local church. People probably shouting out at tongues at irregular intervals. Who knows what they were doing? It seems very confusing, and you'll see, again, embedded in here somewhere is a comment to the women. It says, you've got to stop all the talking. Now, remember, he's coming to a culture that is largely uneducated, taught by all kinds of different winds of doctrine. And in the church, and this never happens here, really, never happens. Maybe that says something about our need to convert those that are rough-hewn at a more rapid pace. But stuff was going on in the church, and he goes, you can't do this. You can't do that. Bill, you're not going to wrestling night, whatever it is. He's going to fix what is defective. And appoint authoritative, loving, but disciplined people to run the shop. What then, brothers? What then, brothers? Really? When you come together, each one has a hymn? It's good. A lesson? The Lord wants you to share something. And this, really, the picture here is of an early church, probably a smaller group. And let me just describe one thing that's a possibility. I don't think it's the answer to the question, but it's helpful. In Jewish synagogues, the room was split in two in some way, and all the women were on one side, and all the men were on the other side. And it is possible in the excitement of the moment and flying gifts and new people coming in and stuff that the wives were yelling over to the husbands questions about what's going on here. And so Paul says, you can't do that. You can't do that. God is a God of order, decency, peace, not confusion. If you have a question, ask your husband at home. Now you go, oh, sure, I'm a helpless baby. I have to ask him. You don't have to. You get to. You know what that does for him? every man in the room knows this. It makes him feel respected. Colonel Roberts told me last night, men struggle is, am I good enough? And I'm told women struggle is, am I lovable? And your guy needs to know that somebody thinks he's something, because you're it. You are the person closest to him. You're the lady that loves him. And if you don't back him, who will? Who will? So that's what's going on here. And I suspect there are several levels to what Paul does. Let me continue. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. We're a small groups church. Small groups, small groups, small groups. Find a small group. Exercise your gifts there. All of them, any of them. Get to know who you are. Seek the Lord. Two-way communication. Talk to him. He will, if you want him to, talk to you. I think he talks to you all the time, actually. We just don't know it's his voice. Intercepting and overwhelming our mind at times with the most beautiful, amazing things and the needful things. Let all things in the final analysis be done for building up. There's no good top sergeant. There's no good colonel that does not both discipline his troops and cheer them on. I saw Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf, talking to the troops before war. They had films of it. I've seen a couple guys do this. They're on YouTube somewhere. And it's awful what they're going to have to do. But he says, you are fully capable. You're more than capable. You're the best in the world. What? Some people say the New York Police Department's pretty good. Somebody is up there telling them they're good. And when two towers fall, some of them are running into the building. Because somebody said, I believe in you. I believe in my wife. I depend on my wife. She knows it. And I love my wife. She knows that too. Why? Because I verbalize it. And on my good days, I act like it. Let me interject here, a little marriage counseling. We heard from one of the top analysts in the world this week, and I will not do it perfectly, but I'll give you something half-baked rather than give you nothing. He said, in marriages that are troubled, there's a lot of arguing. The studies show a lot of argument. And some of you heard this at the wedding yesterday. And in marriages that are doing really well, there's a lot of argument. He said, they're equal. He said, it's what happens between the arguments that is vital. And he didn't go on because he was trying to sell you a book, Marcus Buckingham, get his book. I don't know what he said. But what I know is, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on it. The between times are times for rest, repair, and forgiveness. Without reluctance. There's another R. Without reluctance. Melanie and I, we fight a lot. She's tough, you know, this big. Where does she get all that? Where's my Aunt Melanie? But I need it. I need it. But she also believes in me. At the toughest time in my life, when I'd basically lost a job, she wrote a 19-page paper to the management. I still fellowship with these management folk, and they were like just broken by what she had to say, because she did that for her, the guy she argues with every day. Why wouldn't I stick with her? Am I insane? Are you kidding me? God made her for me. Now that's what this is based on, and that's where this is actually going. Peace, not confusion. If any speak in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, let someone interpret. Scholars in that day, closer to that era, within a couple hundred years of this era, said there was... And this says, there were people just shouting in tongues and carrying on, and we did this last week, but it was undisciplined. It needed to be regulated. It wasn't right. If there's no interpretation, don't do it. Very simple principle. Paul just comes in. If we don't understand you, you may be praising the Lord great, but take it home to your private thing, because if we don't understand you, you do not benefit us, and in fact, you are a distraction. Okay, Paul, we get it. Why? Does he want order so as to paralyze us into neat little cellophane boxes and de-strengthen us and make us without passion and just mealy mouth sitting there like this? No. He is creating us in the image of the meekest man on earth, Moses, who was a great leader of people. Meekest man on earth, the scripture says. And the Lord Jesus, who said, my yoke is easy and my burden light. I am gentle and soul, and you shall find rest in me. The good shepherd had a tenderness and compassion. And yes, he could call a man a hypocrite without batting an eye. Two at the most, three, let there be someone there to interpret. No interpreters, don't talk in tongues in public. But if there was someone to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself to God. Let two or three prophets speak. Prophet is speaking the words of the Lord as he quickens it, as he makes it alive to you. Prophecy. We call it, I thought the Lord said, I think I heard him, I was in prayer today, I was burdened. There's a thousand ways of saying this in our culture. We all divide over this issue. I refuse to divide. In fact, some of the top churches now, Rick Warren will be screaming out, why am I doing this? Because God told me to. And you know, you're like, I have a little booth for you down at Northern Virginia Mental Health, Rick. Except for the fact that 50,000 people believed that the Lord did speak to him. And the Lord did speak to him. I'm not raising up a man. I'm raising up the still small voice that still speaks. Do not lose the intimacy of relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I have a problem. Something's desperately wrong, and I want it to get better. I want it to get better. I will help you go to an AA meeting. Bill, this area of your life is awful. But I love you very deeply, so I am instructing you to go talk to this man and get help. Bill, whatever that is, whatever, however he speaks to you, I know he sends unique love letters through the prophetic, and sometimes he'll use your mouth to say something. Guy said to me last night, I said, you're gifted, you're an amazing man, you have great potential. He said, you always tell me that. I said that to you because you need it, and it's true. Walked away. I didn't want to hear anymore. I wanted to leave a deposit of the prophetic. Was that the Lord? I think it was, honestly. But I don't know. But I'm going to keep pitching and believing. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. Wherever prophecy happens, there should be some judgment of it. It should edify, build up, etc. When you leave here today, you can search out what I'm saying in the scriptures. Grab your commentaries. They'll sufficiently confuse you that you might actually believe how I interpret this, but maybe not. The bottom line is, it says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. We want to listen. What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? This is how the early church was. In a larger context, we're quieter. We don't allow as many manifestations. And some of us have come out of churches that were unregulated in this regard. And the silliest of one, I'll never forget, one of the greatest ladies I knew. I came out of a service, large service, church was growing, it was a wonderful church, an amazing church. And she goes, Bill, come here, moon over Miami. Did I tell this last week? Probably. Moon over Miami, it just changed my life. No, it didn't. I had no idea what she was talking about. And when she got finished saying it, she was actually a brilliant lady, and she's like, I have no idea why I'm telling you that, but moon over Miami. I've not been to Miami. I've never personally seen the moon over it. I don't know what that was about. We're allowed to make some mistakes. We're allowed to be off. And I've told all of you, but for those that are new this morning, one day in little Maryville, Virginia, in a tiny little boxy little place, a woman missionary in entirely proper order stood up in the course of worship in a well-regulated meeting, pointed her bony finger and said to me, this day I have prepared you for ministry. And that night I was, unknown to her, I was going before the elders of my church to have them release me to a call to pastor. She didn't know that, but someone knew it. And that is the value of an intimate relationship. Intimacy with a wife has to do with best, bless, edify, share, and talk. Best, bless, edify, build her up, share, and talk. If that's true in the most intimate relationship on earth, should we not bless him? Should we not be built up and edified by him? Should we not share sweet fellowship? Shouldn't we not talk? When you go out for a walk, sometimes talk with him. Pray to him. Ask him what you should do next. Meditate on what you think he's saying. You could be wrong. It is a healthy exercise, and I'm telling you, it might just change your world. It might change our world. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. Don't let anybody tell you that starts going off in a meeting and says a bunch of wild stuff. They couldn't control themselves. They were in ecstasy. They were lost. This is what was going on in Corinth. It was like a wild display. The guy's out of control. I hate to tell you this story. I'd like to look good. I was in that same small room at one point, and a British evangelist came in who had been used in a mighty way, I was told, to rescue people from drug addiction. And what he said was so powerful to me. And yes, I was very young. This happened 40 years ago, and I was so stirred up that I felt led to say something from the Lord. And I said something, but I did not modulate my voice. I knew I could, but I was so filled with the fire of the Lord, or so I thought, you know, that it just came out like a trumpet. And the congregation's like, probably, the pastor was used to this. I mean, the gentleman that was speaking. But my pastor afterwards came over with this look. You don't want to talk to them when they come over like that, okay? You start backing out of the room at that point. Just, that's a piece of wisdom. He said, Bill, you know, what you said was fine, but can you kind of tone it down? Like the walls were like breaking down when you did that. I said, yes, sir. It's my bad. I was just stirred. I overly emoted. Our spirits are subject to us. When we speak, when we talk, when we speak for the Lord. And here, if you think you have something prophetic, we like you to say, I believe the Lord would say. So if anyone comes in, they know you're taking a risk, you're not sure. It's okay not to be sure. I think the greater difficulty is never taking that risk. That's me. Selah, think about it. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of sub-prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission. As the law also says, Adam was formed first, then Eve. That may be the passage he's referring to. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word came, word of God came? Or are you the only ones it reached? Now, here, there's a discipline going forth. Something was going on in Corinth. And there is a universal application. We believe this is inspired by God, and it was written both for them and for us. And I think what he's saying is actually applicable to both men and women, obviously. Sometimes men are too loud, like I was in my prophetic moment. It was ridiculous. I was off. I was corrected. Sometimes we're too loud at a service, whatever. That doesn't happen here. Just understand Corinth. It's going crazy. You know what it looks like when people are coming in from all planets, and they're just screaming and carrying on. Paul's saying, stop. And apparently, the women in that particular culture were going bonkers. But in any culture, male or female, you should do things decently and in order. The suggestion is, as I said, Sally Sue's over here. John, what, you know, and Paul's going, this is inappropriate. And if an unbeliever comes in, they will see disorganization. He's saying, my God is not like that, guys. He's gentle, he's loving, and he's orderly and peaceable. He's a shepherd. He leads sheep to still water and green pastures, good places in an organized and disciplined way. So he corrects the lady, but the correction may have a larger thing, and I've already done my best with that. I don't see this anymore, not in this church. Maybe you guys, honestly, in a sense, are more spiritual. I don't mean to brag about you, but I have been in fellowships where things are really going bonkers, even lately. And the ladies in one corner, I have to say it, are dancing around, shouting, no. We love the passion. But if you're doing it for attention, problematic. My daughter was probably 13 years old, maybe younger. Maybe she was 9, Catherine, my firstborn. And I said, honey, look at this. It was Peter Jennings, a 2020 thing in a massively sized church. A guy was chicken hopping down the center of the aisle, and somebody else was doing something weird prophetically. And Jennings is there watching this and interviewing people. And I said, honey, what is that? She is a dedicated, deeply spiritual Christian. She said, Dad, those are people with low self-esteem that need attention or want attention. Come on. Come on, out of the mouth of babe. She just told the truth. You know what I'm saying. Let's not be that. That's disorderly. You're better than that. You don't do that. I shouldn't be preaching to this group. But this is what Paul is dealing with. And he's having to do some heart surgery, and it's painful. And this is what was going on in the church. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. For shameful to women to speak in the church. There is disorder there. That's what he's referring to, in my view. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones it reached? Clearly, there was a battle going on between Paul and certain entities in the church, and they were demanding certain spiritual prerogatives that made the place look like a nut house. One man, he was so sweet. He wanted our church to be successful in a certain context and a certain time. He's no longer alive. And he would stand in the back of the church and wave the Holy Spirit in. Is the Holy Spirit, he is described as a wind, as a figure of speech. He is a he. He is a person, the third person of the Trinity, not a force that you wave into a room. And he was a distraction to the service where people were trying to come to Christ. So that lion wasn't bearded. He moved away, and it probably hurt us. The church became more and more esoteric, meaning only those that wanted to do this were around there. Sorry, but that's the truth. One night, a lady was there, and I love her for this in one sense. The service was going very well. She was touched by it. And she was older and covered with jewelry. I don't know. It's just what I remember. Sorry, a little background there. And her legs bend, and in slow motion, she falls to the floor under the power of the Spirit. And my pastor, Phil's pastor, Patty's pastor, some of our pastor, was an army chaplain, a deeply, deeply spiritual man. God had spoken to him dramatically many times. And I'm kind of wandering over to the lady because the service, everybody's looking at her. And I'm going, oh, no, here I go again. And Daryl comes over, the boss. And she goes, oh, Daryl, it was the Spirit. And he said, no, honey, that was just you. She took it with grace, and it was true, and that was true shepherding. And the church prospered and started numerous churches because of leadership that wasn't afraid to lovingly correct their children. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should exalt, he should acknowledge the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. Order and decency in the church, peace, not confusion. If anyone does not recognize this, he's not recognized. He has no authority to speak to the church I founded, Paul is saying in Corinth. You guys have a lot to fix, but I love you with all my heart. These things have to be changed. Not unregulated spiritual gifts, peaceful, serene, non-confused communications. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently in an order. I heard the plaintive cry in John Calvin's voice as I read his commentary on this. John Calvin, and he had his faults, but he knew that the Word of God was divinely inspired. And he did not disparage these passages. He simply said, perhaps we're kind of missing something. Perhaps we need to go back to this two-way communication, is how I take his comments. A God of peace, not confusion. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your great love for all of us and those people in Corinth and those not yet saved and those that are so broken they have to dance down an aisle to be seen because maybe Dad didn't tell them that they were special. Maybe we failed them in some way. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to tell our kids they're loved every day. Help us to tell them because of Christ they're world beaters. Help us to hug them and love them so they feel inside strong, immutable, filled with the Holy Spirit and courage. Bless this people, Lord, I pray. And let us glorify your name out there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, this